In Florida, you'll find the environment to inspire what's inconceivable, the chance to explore what's inexplicable, and the space to accomplish what's unimaginable. You'll no longer have to wait for the future. You can harness it. Florida, the future is here.
Coming up, Roku bets on 4K TV, and it's rolling out a brand new lineup to prove it. More straight ahead.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Lest there be any doubt that 4K TV is going mainstream, we can look to Roku and its brand new line of streamers. Last year, the company unveiled the Roku 4. This, of course, is its first 4K set-top streaming box. That's old news. Now it offers three 4K-capable boxes, and for good measure, an economy value of sorts, the Roku Express. Smaller, cheaper, simpler. Out with the old, in with the new. Let's dive right in. Joining us now to break it all down is WSJD's Nathan Olivares-Giles. Hey, Nathan.
Hey.
So let me make sure I get this just right. The old Roku 1, 2, 3, and 4 have been discontinued. It's got three new video players that can now stream in Ultra HD. That's Premiere, Premiere Plus, and Ultra. And there's also a basic Express version. Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Okay.
A
cool.
Lot.
Okay, good. It's a lot. It was a lot. I just wanted to make sure I pinpointed their whole new lineup here. There's a lot going on. So let's start at the top. The flagship streaming box becomes the Roku Ultra. What's new and exciting about that?
Well, the Roku Ultra, this is $130. It's basically got almost everything you could want from a streaming TV box right now. It has 4K video, which is about four times the resolution of a regular 1080p television set. And it has HDR, which is an exciting new feature that high-end televisions have. And that's a feature that's kind of moving down to cheaper television sets as well. But basically this allows for better contrast in the images that you see, a wider gamut of colors, blacker blacks, whiter whites, and just kind of an overall more realistic-looking image when you're watching a television show or a movie or something like that. And then there's a bunch of other features that you may or may not want. There's a micro SD card slot if you want to, throw in an SD card slot of some, like, home movies or photos you took with your phone. There's a USB port if you want to connect an external hard drive. Things like that.
I see. Does it compare to, let's say, an Apple TV? Is it on par with something like that?
Yeah, from a usability standpoint, this Roku Ultra, the $130 model, is really the one that compares with an Apple TV in
okay.
terms of feature set. It like the Apple TV, this Roku Ultra can take voice commands. The rest of the Rokus cannot. Now, of course, the Apple TV. Well, it has a ton of apps and a lot of entertainment. It has access to the iTunes store. You can buy and rent almost any movie and mm-hmm. television show. It does not. The Apple TV does not do 4K or HDR. So Roku's a little bit ahead of the game in that respect.
Gotcha. So let's talk about the Premiere and the Premiere Plus. They seem like they're both rather similar. It's sort of middle of the road, maybe not top of the line, not the lowest. What can you tell me about those two boxes?
Yeah, those two are still going to do 4K video streaming, and they're still going to handle HDR. The difference is that with the Premiere, you're just getting 4K. The Premiere Plus has the HDR. So if you don't have a television set that handles 4K video or HDR, then maybe it's not worth spending extra money for you. Or you know what, if you're going to buy a TV in the next couple of years, buying one of these boxes might be a little bit of future-proofing, so to speak. One of the big differences between the Premiere and the Premiere Plus, aside from that HDR, is actually the ports that it has. The regular Roku Premiere, which does 4K video, basically only has an HDMI port, and the Roku Premiere Plus has an Ethernet port, and there's also a difference in the remote control. The regular Roku has a infrared remote, which means that you need to have line of sight with the box as you're using it,
mm-hmm.
whereas the Roku Premiere Plus has a radio frequency remote, and you can use that anywhere in your living room without actually having to have line of sight to that box. So it's a little bit nicer to use that in your living room.
Not leaving anyone out here, there's the $30 Roku Express. Now, is it basically just a cheap HD situation you can get yourself in?
Yeah, actually, this is one of the products I'm most excited about just because it's the most accessible. It's about the size of a pack of gum.
Wow.
It's $30. And it only does 1080p. It doesn't do 4K. There's no HDR. You're not going to get a fancy remote. You're not going to get any extra ports or anything like that. But, you know, if you have like a little television set in your dorm room, or you have an extra television, in your bedroom, or you just have a 1080p TV, you want to start streaming now, and you don't want to spend a lot of money, you're not sure if the next TV you're going to buy is going to be 4K or HDR or any of that stuff, $30, and you have, you know, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, YouTube, the majority of the streaming channels and options that you would want. So I think it's going to be really something that people are going to look to. Maybe shop against the $35 Chromecast, which has been a big, big hit for Google as well.
These days, to say something like, oh, it's only 1080, when you figure how far we're coming with HD. And you're seeing more and more TV sets pop up that are enabled to handle Ultra HD. Do you think that can soon be the norm, that will phase out of the standard HD eventually?
Oh, yeah, totally. This is the exciting new spec that when you go in to buy a television set, this is the thing that they're telling you about. This is the thing that's new. It's 4K, it's HDR. It's a really improved image. And if you have a big, big television set, you'll see a better image for sure. Basically, what we're experiencing right now is 1080p, which has been a standard, for nearly the last decade as far as, the ultimate and high def resolution being supplanted by 4K. But most streaming stuff right now is still barely catching up to 1080p. A lot of live television that you're watching from maybe either a cable provider or maybe that, if it's HD, oftentimes it's actually 720p. It's still HD, but it's not quite 1080p, that full resolution. Mm-hmm. So the world is really still catching up to 1080p in lots of ways, and yet television sellers, they're already here on 4K and HDR. So there's going to be a lot of time for people to catch up to that. You're still seeing even video game consoles right now. There's a new wave of video game consoles coming out with HDR, coming out with 4K, but most games aren't built to support that yet. So this is where things are going to go. And if you want to do that future-proofing, you can't go wrong with that. But in no way should you feel like a rush. You know, if you're really happy with your current Apple TV or your Roku or your Chromecast, there's no rush to go out and spend the extra money and upgrade. Because if you buy one of these boxes and you don't have a 4K or HDR TV set, you're not going to notice the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And Roku has more than 200 channels on its streaming players, which is a ton. It's a lot.
Oh, that is a lot, yeah.
But they only have currently 15 4K channels. And for the HDR side of things, pretty much only Amazon and Netflix and a few others are doing that. So the 4K options are slim pickings, and the 4K HDR options are even slimmer. These things will change over time, but in no way should you feel pressured to go out and throw away that streaming box if you have one and you really love it. But if you don't have one, you might as well, I think, get what works for you now.
We're going to take a quick pause. Coming up, what's next for Roku? Stay tuned.
Enjoy our podcasts? Then listen in your car. Before you start down the road, just sync your smartphone using Bluetooth or plug into the USB port. Got Apple CarPlay? Just tap on the podcast app and search for WSJ. The next time you're getting behind the wheel, take us along and enjoy the ride. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously. Share our shows with your friends. Like us at facebook.com/WSJ Podcasts.
And we're back. With me is Nathan Olivares Giles. One thing that always seems to come up when we're talking devices, talking hardware, the hardware arena, it's a difficult one for tech companies lately. You know, one could say that the selling of these boxes could be limited. Does Roku have anything else up its sleeve looking ahead?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Roku has actually done a really great job of expanding and getting their software onto smart TVs. Right now, you can find a work called Roku TV, basically television sets with the Roku software built in and all of those streaming apps. They have them from Haier, they have from Hisense, TCL, Sharp, Insignia, and Hitachi is jumping in on this too. Now, those are a lot of lower-end budget brands. You know, you're not seeing a Roku television set from, you know, Sony or a Samsung or an LG, someone you'll pay a little bit more money to buy their television set. But this is you know, the majority of the lower end brands that are out there. So you're going to go into a Costco or a Walmart or a Target or even a Best Buy. You're going to start seeing Roku TVs pop up there. It's kind of a smart move because smart TVs are actually finally getting good. When they first came out a few years ago, they kind of stunk. There weren't that many apps out there for them. And a lot of TV manufacturers just were neglecting to update the operating systems, the apps. And mm-hmm. a lot of times stuff would kind of languish there and you want to get the latest features. Roku's a little bit different because this is all the company does. They take this a little bit more seriously and they do keep things updated. You know, if you're looking to buy a television set, a Roku TV is something you might want to consider.
Very good. Nathan Olivares-Giles, thanks as always for joining the podcast.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Once again, we've been speaking to WSJD's Nathan Olivares-Giles. That wraps up the tech news briefing for right now. For The Wall Street Journal, I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.
WSJ Podcasts, now available on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and the Google Play Music app.